Think about when you go to buy a product these days, whether it be a car, a phone. Why do I bring this up? Because in today's day and age, 2025, the buyer is incredibly selective in the amount of information and their sphere of influence is growing. You know, it's something we talked about in one of the prior episodes with Katie Maris. And I think on today's episode, we're going to get into it a little bit deeper when we talk to Todd Caputo, specifically about automobiles and the automotive industry, because the buyer is incredibly selective. So how can we understand taking our own life and putting that onto buyers in today's market and what they might be seeing, and then applying data in order to meet their needs? Todd is an amazing resource. He has decades of knowledge. It's generational. He's warm, interesting, and quite frankly, we just like talking to the guy. So I hope you'll enjoy it as well. As always, thanks for listening. Hope that you find it engaging and interesting and that you will subscribe for more content. Welcome to the Inside Track, presented by Kalb Review. All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Inside Track presented by Kalb Review. I'm your host this week, Kurt Larson, Sales Enablement Manager with Kalb Review. We're going to be talking about something very exciting today. We're going to be talking about the buyer, how the current automotive buyer is, how that profile has changed, what they're doing to buy cars. Who is buying cars is the bottom line. Why are they buying cars? How can we personalize that experience for the client? And then also, how can we use data to be in a more effective dealership and thus build long-term loyalty? Bottom line is, who's buying cars and how can we make this relationship better? Joining me in today's discussion is Todd Caputo of Todd Caputo Consulting. He's been a leader in the automotive space for several decades, and you can find him and his services at toddcaputoconsulting.com. I want to read a quote. Let's just jump right in. Not my favorite phrase, jump right in, Todd, but let's do it. Here's the quote: personal contacts and keeping the customer satisfied was the way I sold the majority of my cars. It's a practice that is very important to me and the one that I hope to continue here. Todd, that is a video from your website. It's an exceptional video, by the way, as I told you off camera. I love the storytelling in it. I encourage everyone to go check it out to learn more about you and your past. But that is from a newspaper article. Yes, you heard me right. A newspaper article where your dad was quoted in saying it. So I think it's fair to say that this topic we're going to be talking about today, long-term relationships, they're fairly important to you and your family when it comes to the automotive industry. Yes?
Absolutely, 100%. Learned a lot of things from my dad. And, the basics don't change at the end of the day. We have a lot of different pieces of technology that we can use to help out consumers when it comes to them buying a car. But I don't think the basics are ever going to change, Kurt. The basics are there, and they're there for a reason.
So 2024, 2025, some people may say, I don't know, Todd, I don't know. Do long-term relationships really matter in the automotive industry? Has it become more one-on-one transactional in nature? Or you're still saying you feel, look, at the end of the day, it still matters? Or has the pie chart decreased when it comes to this?
So I think it's the combination of the two, right? So let me give an example.
Okay.
There are people that work at car dealerships that have worked there for a very long time in sales, and they just have a book of business, and customers will only buy from them, nobody else, because they trust them. One of the biggest challenges that we have in the industry is building and getting the trust of the consumer, right? People don't trust car dealers. They don't trust car salesmen. We're ranked pretty low if you ask people's opinions about trustworthiness of car salesmen. So when they find somebody that they can trust, and if they're loyal to the brand and loyal to the dealership, it makes everybody's job a lot easier. The consumer just doesn't feel as nervous because they trust the salesperson. And also, it just makes it easier for the salesperson to sell that person a car because the customer already trusts them. Because a lot of what happens in a car dealership is trust building when somebody first walks in or calls on the telephone or fills out a lead form. Trust has to be established first before anything else can happen.
So how has that changed? Say when we talk about the buyers, right? You've been around a while, 5, 10 years, 15, 20 years ago. Has the perception changed at all when it comes to that used car salesman, you know, cliche scenario? And how do we overcome that as an industry, right? When we're talking about trust.
I think technology has helped that a lot. I mean, let's just look at online reviews, for example, right? Being able to do an online review on a business, whether it's a car dealership, a restaurant, or whatever, or on a person, right, is really, really important. When I had my dealerships, I always encouraged, we always try to get reviews, right? But what we did encourage people to do is when they did leave a review, not only did they mention the business, but they also mentioned the person that they dealt with at the dealership. We always enforced with our salespeople, get the customer to put your name in the review. So if someone is shopping the dealership, has never done business there before, and they're looking at reviews, which most people do, they will see your name or other people's name that work there over and over and over again, and they'll know to ask for you or for somebody else that has their names mentioned in reviews. So technology creates a lot of transparency. That's why you really have to do a really good job taking care of people and building trust, because if you don't, you're going to get a bad review, and that's not good.
How did you – so you obviously were successful for a long time, right? How do you convey that when you're talking to a client? Just something as simple as, hey, you know, a review would go a long way. Because I know some people in any business, doesn't have to be automotive, right? Anywhere we go, it's, do you want to sign up for points? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? How do you make that human one-on-one interaction? Do you have any, I don't know, tips? Or like, how did you do it? Was it just basic, fundamental human behavior? Well,
sometimes it can be bribery in cases, right? Please give us a review. We'll give you a gift card. We'll get you a gift card for Dunkin' Donuts. We will reimburse you this. We'll put points on your card. Again, do I recommend doing that? No. Somebody should really want to give you a good review for doing an outstanding job. It's almost like working as a waiter or waitress in a restaurant. Uh-huh. The more friendly you are, the better service that you give, the better tip you're going to get. And I would say in a lot of cases, the tip that a salesperson could get selling cars would be a good online review, and you just have to ask for it, right?
Sure.
Ask for it, and just the way I explained it, right? Like if someone is looking to buy a car, if you could mention my name in the review, that would be really, really helpful. If you could refer your friends, family, coworkers to me, I would really appreciate it. Obviously, this is how I make a living, and I feed my family, and referrals mean a lot to me. If you've trusted me with your hard-earned money, I hope that you could recommend me to your friends and family and coworkers so they can trust me too.
And part of that is, correct me if you disagree, is reading the room as well. You're not going to blanket do that to every person you talk to. It's, hey, this went well. We've clearly established a rapport. You just don't want to ask everyone for a review. You want to know, you got to read the room, right?
Totally agree. Because for some people, it is very transactional. Not every customer wants to be best friends with a car salesman, let's face it, right? They just don't. They want to get in. They want to get out. And that's it. And it's very true. Where do I sign? What do I do? How quick can I get out of this dealership? Because they don't want to stay there. But I would tell you, I don't know, 7 out of 10 aren't like that, right? Seven out of 10, it becomes a lot of fun. I mean, buying a car at the end of the day should be fun. It's exciting. It's expensive, right? But you know what it's like. Whether you buy a brand new car or you buy a used car, it's something new and it's something that should be really celebrated. You know, if you're doing a good job as a salesperson, you need to make this a very special thing for a customer. And I think it's important that you always keep that in mind. One of the things I always reminded the people that, I used to work with when I owned my dealerships and when I do consulting now is, you know, in the industry, we get so used to just selling cars day in and day out. I sold another car. And for us, it may become transactional because it's just what we do every single day. But most people, they're not buying cars for, I don't know, every 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 10 years, 12 years. Yeah. So it's a big deal to them. And you could never, ever, ever lose sight of that. You just can't.
Well, also, you know, I'm speaking for myself. It's also a little bit terrifying, right? Like this, as you said, should not be transactional, right? This is a huge purchase, probably your second biggest purchase next to your home, something like that. You're going to use it for a long time, especially like me. I'm a family man. So that brings me to my next question. I mean, buyers seem to have more leverage now due to their phones and information, right? Is it harder to break through and have that one-on-one relationship because they're coming in kind of armed to the teeth with information about pricing and things and whatnot?
Is it, do you find it harder to break through to have that loyalty?
No, I think the opposite.
Okay.
I think it makes it easier.
Okay.
I think it, number one, it speeds up the transaction time in a lot of cases because, look, I think in most cases, because of the ability for customers to get access to so much information literally through one of these,
right?
In a very short period of time. Now let's put AI and layer AI on top of that, which is coming, right? Fast and furious. It's going to be even easier and faster for a customer to get information on a particular car or a particular dealership that they want to do business with. It makes it a lot easier because a lot of times when you're trying to sell somebody something, especially a car, you have to review all of the all the options in the car, everything that it does, all the changes. But if people are involved, in case just drive the car after that they don't know that they want to know, and then just get right down to it. When it comes to numbers, again, it's the same thing. The more educated a customer is, in my opinion, the better when it comes to the financial transaction. It just makes it easier. That's why I'm a big proponent of transparency online, right? I believe that you should give customers as much information as you possibly can on your website. That will make them trust you even more right off the bat, even if they don't know you, if they've never done business with you before, because you're giving them all this information. And again, speed up the process. It just makes it more efficient. And the more efficient it is for you as a salesperson, you can sell more cars in less period of time. And the more efficient it is for a consumer, the better they feel about the transaction and the more likely they'll do business with you again and refer friends and family and coworkers to you.
Man, I couldn't agree more. You said it and I was like shaking my head. I threw up my hands. The age of transparency. In some ways, because we have all this information, in my opinion, it should decrease this lack of trust, right? Because now we know the price is worth it going for. We can get through that quicker and we can develop a human bond that makes you say, you know, I like what this guy's telling me, the salesperson's telling me. So now my question would be, during the pandemic era, I don't know if we're calling it that, but we'll call it that, cars were flying off the lots, right? Now it's a little bit different. We're in a different era now. If you were going into a dealership today talking to salespeople, right? What should they do? What should they what should they put the focus on? And where are some new tools you think that they might want to explore to strengthen this relationship and make it better for everyone? Not just for people selling cars, but for the people buying cars.
So the first thing for people that are in the business now that got into the business during the pandemic, they need a history lesson, right?
Okay, all right.
They need to see W-2s from 2019 prior.
Let's do it. Age of transparency. Let's just put them out there, the W-2s.
Correct. Like let's white out the names and white out the social security numbers, but let's have how many cars they sold and what their gross income was that particular year, and then show it on a graph of what was made during COVID and then what was made prior to that. So the very, very clear understanding that what happened during COVID, we probably won't ever see again. It won't happen. And, you know, it was very easy for people to develop a lot of bad habits during COVID because they didn't really have to sell anything. They were basically, I hate to say it, order takers. And I don't want to just say that for everybody because that's not the case, because
of course,
a lot of people really worked very hard during COVID through very extenuating work circumstances, especially depending on what state that you were working in. Every state was different with restrictions. Working through COVID was not easy in this business at all. But cars were sold for sticker price. They were sold for over sticker price. If you had what somebody wanted, the customer just took it because they had to get cars because there was a lack of supply. But those days they're gone, right? So what do you have to get back to? You have to get back to the basics. And this is what when I go to car dealerships and I work with dealers, salespeople, managers, people in variable ops, I explain to them the basics. How do you handle a lead? How do you answer the telephone? How do you greet a customer, right? Your website, how does your website look? Do you have too many call to actions on it? Are there too many buttons? Are you reading, if you're in a BDC or you're handling leads, are you actually reading the lead properly? Are you using technology in 2024 that's available to you, especially with the telephone, right? And, you know, now, whether it's your company or others, you have the ability as a manager to hear whether or not and get alerted as to whether or not the phone call is handled properly. Most customers still pick up the telephone and call businesses to ask questions. I know that I still do. Some people chat, a lot of people chat, right? But most people will pick up the telephone. If you give them a good amount of information or enough information on a website, if they're interested in buying something or coming in and seeing something, they're probably going to pick up the phone and call. And it's really important that you know, calls are handled properly. The leads are handled properly. Somebody walks into the door to a dealership that they're greeted properly. You know, welcome to ABC Motors. My name is Todd. How may I help you? You know, just be polite. Right. Answer the telephone with enthusiasm. I mean, yeah, I got to tell you, now that I'm on the other side and not a dealer anymore, I visit dealerships as a consultant, but I also go as a customer for, you know, for service. Yeah. And, you know, I've posted about this before. I've gone into dealerships and I purposely wait. Like, I want to be a waiter rather than someone that drops off and then just picks back up, because I like to watch what goes on at a dealership. I'll walk around the showroom or walk around the lot just to see who greets me, right? And how they greet me and what they do. I'll watch what people are doing in the morning when they first walk in before they start, right? And I have to tell you, it's not every dealer, but a lot of dealers, they got some work to do, because I was never greeted in some places. It blew my mind. I mean, it just blew my mind. I'm walking
it's
around.
Insane. It's insane. We're doing a webinar talking about basics, and we got to be like, all right, here's basic number one. Be polite. Acknowledge people. Like, that's crazy. But
greet people. And you'd be surprised. And if you read, you know, read comments on social media that people post about car buying experiences. And I think as an industry, we've almost gone backwards a little bit because of COVID. A lot of bad habits were created. You know, people made money that they never made before. And just a lot of bad habits got created, to be honest with you. And some of it was really nobody's fault at the end of the day. I was talking to, I was on Clubhouse the other day, and I was talking to a group of people. And you think about, our communication was disrupted during COVID. Like, people had to wear masks. People couldn't shake hands. People had to stand, 6 feet apart? Remember those days?
Yes.
Dots on the floor. Everybody's got to be 6 feet apart. So communication skills were almost like frozen in time for like, and almost put backwards in decades in a lot of cases, because you couldn't really communicate with each other. And it's important that those basics and those skills really get taught again. I think it's important.
Well, and I want to just, that frozen in time kind of thread, compounded by also, you know, how we communicate social media and how we connect and interact with people. I mean, I know I have a voracious, you know, bunch of connections that people I've never met, Todd, right? And I'm very comfortable in front of people in real life, but like meeting people in real life, it's like there's an awkwardness and like, you know, we've talked online for like 3 years, you know, in a gaming community or something like that. So yeah. I agree with you. So knowing that you're talking to a lot of people, who's successful out there and why, in your opinion, right now? These bad habits we've talked about, they exist as a generalization. Who are the folks that are succeeding? What are they doing differently?
I would tell you, and I don't want to name dealers specifically,
no.
But I would tell you the dealers that have realized the things that we're talking about today, and have made the choice to, number one, retrain people about the basics, and number two, utilize the technology that they either are already paying for now or is out there that they have the ability to use, are the ones that are already being successful and they're already ahead of the game, because there are dealers out there that have done that. And there's others that are still, there's others that just don't think it's COVID. I mean, I hate to say it, but yeah. It's a reality. And I know that other people agree with me.
Yeah. What's interesting is obviously, you know, over here at Call Review, we're you know, big proponents of AI and how it can help. And yet it's how you use it. And yet that human interaction is still critical to the sale at the end of the day when it comes to something like a car. So it's a little bit of blending of the both. So just using the alerts as an example, how did we even get alerts 10, 20 years ago? Like, how did you used to get alerts as a dealership compared to now? And now that we can get alerts in real time to kind of salvage a sale, how much of that is that a game changer?
Well, you know, one of the things that I used to do as a dealer, and I would always have the leadership people in my businesses, whether it was in variable ops or fixed ops do is listen to telephone calls. You know, they were required at least for 60 minutes once a week to listen to telephone calls.
Okay.
And again, this was before, you know, I sold my dealerships, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and the technology wasn't nearly as good as it is now. But the only problem is when you're listening to things that happened in the past, a lot of times you can't correct it. It's too late.
Yeah.
But now with the ability for AI to listen to a telephone call and alert someone in leadership that a call is not being handled properly and giving them the ability to either barge in on a call, which is kind of awkward. I don't always recommend that, but at least be able to find a way to help correct it or bring somebody else in, or maybe call a customer right back immediately, like right after it happened. I mean, that's huge. That's, to me, that's a game changer. And from a coaching perspective too, whether you're running a BDC, if you have one, being able to coach people, especially when you're training them, how to handle a call properly is huge, right? And again, the business is getting tougher. It's really going to be important to monitor when that telephone rings, because when that phone rings, as a dealer, I can tell you it costs me a lot of money to make the phone ring. It costs me a lot of money to have a customer walk in the door. Right. And it costs a lot of money for them to fill out a form online or do chat, right? What's the average in this industry now? $400 or $500 a car,
right?
Maybe more. And throw your co-op in or whatever. It's some, in some cases, it's more. Depends on the OEM. So, you know, it's costing that much money to create an opportunity. The more control you have over that opportunity being handled properly is just huge. I wish, again, back in the day that some of this technology was available now, because if it did, I mean, I'd be using it.
That's right.
I'm not here to be a cheerleader for any vendor, like, you know me. I'm not
self
nature. But
right.
If the technology exists today, I don't see how any dealer would not want to have, whether it's your technology or someone else's technology, yours is the best,
right.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It is. But having the ability to be able to do that is huge.
Yeah.
For sales and for service, and being able to choose keywords. I mean, it blows my mind. If I have a bunch of, let's say I'm a Jeep dealer, right? A CDJR store. And I got a bunch of Jeeps that are 9 months old. They're a year old on my lot with high day supply. And I can literally get an alert anytime a customer mentions the word, Grand Cherokee or whatever, or EV or anything like that, and know whether or not an appointment was set or not set, if a call's not handled properly. I mean, that's huge.
Sure. Sure. And then you can, and then even when you call back, you know, the client or whatnot, you already have that information. You can cut through, you know, all the fat and whatnot that we used to get. And thank you for saying that. Yes. For those of you listening out there, this is definitely not a call review infomercial. Hopefully you'll enjoy this podcast. Sometimes we won't even talk about the automotive industry. We'll bring in relevant guests that you might find interesting. So appreciate that. In fact, I don't even think we mentioned call review until this moment. But yes, the ability to call people back and say, hey, you know, this is what we see, these keywords, what they mentioned, whether it's a CSI warning or whatnot. So let's get off of that for an example. How do you feel, Todd, in any industry, when you get a call back from, you know, a company about something you inquired about, and they make you reiterate everything over again, whatever problem you had, you know, you're calling, you know, the streaming company, the cable company, whatever. How does it make you feel when they don't have the information ahead of time? You got to go over the story again.
Drives me nuts. There's no reason for it. Read the lead. Read the transcript.
That's right.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. It makes no sense to me.
It almost ruins the relationship off the bat, because I'm like,
and I, you know, I've got a different level of understanding, right?
Yep.
You know, because of what I do. But think about the average person, right? Most people don't have the patience for this stuff. They just don't have the patience for it at all. So again, utilize the technology that you have. Dealers spend a ton of money for technology, a lot of it. And I'm guilty of it too when I own my dealerships, right? We never, ever maximized the potential of a lot of the software that we paid for. And I think that's really, really important that you do that. It's not always easy to do, but it's also the job of the vendor, right, to make sure that you're utilizing the technology as well, because they got to fulfill their end of the bargain. They can't just get a check at the end of every month. You have to look at utilization reports, who's using things properly, who's not using things properly, who's using different applications and software. So you're really getting a good return on your investment as a dealer.
And ironically, that's the personal relationship as well between vendor and technology. Same thing we're talking about, just in a different space, is you have to activate it in order for it to work, whatever it is, in any business. It doesn't matter. It's just not going to free flow and do it. So, you know, we're talking about personalized experiences. This seems to me to become the overwhelming, overarching theme of all businesses right now. Everyone wants some form of a personalized experience, or they've almost come to expect it. So I'm curious, you know, what is something you've purchased lately in your personal life? Again, doesn't have to be automotive in any way, shape, or form, that because, you know, it was personalized, you know, it gave you a personal experience that you enjoyed, that you may be more likely to buy from them again.
Well, this is automobile related, but I'll share it. So I like these Sprinter vans, these high roof Sprinter vans that are set up like campers inside.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever seen them before or not, but I used to buy them and sell them as a dealer. Now I'm not really a dealer anymore, but I still like to buy them and sell them anyways. And I'm a sucker for them. They're a blast. My wife and I take them. We take them on road trips. You know, it's not really camping when you're sleeping inside of a van, but that's how we do it. But anyways, you know, I dealt with this company in South Carolina, and you know, the RV business has a lot of similarities to the car business, right? But
sure.
What I did was, you know, I went to the website, I filled out a form. You know, I could have just done it a lot of different ways, but I wanted to see how they handled, you know, the lead. I wanted to see how they handled me. And it was actually the second van that I bought from them. Yeah. And the odd part about it is, you know, the first person that I dealt with there never followed up with me after I bought the van. You know, no thank you notes, no telephone calls. How do you like it? Like, I didn't get any of that. You know, it's a $200,000 van. These things are
right. Right. Even if you didn't want to engage, which you probably did, the fact that they didn't even try was like, okay.
Correct. Sure. And then when I did fill out the lead form, they didn't look to see that I'd already bought another van from them before. I had to tell them.
Okay.
But once I got on the phone with somebody, she was a very seasoned salesperson. Like, she was really, really, really good. She was super friendly. She followed up. She did everything right once we, you know, ended up speaking on the telephone and having a really good conversation, multiple conversations. We started to text each other. Like, we texted back and forth. That saved a lot of time. That made it more efficient. But, you know, I would tell you, when it came to going back to the basics, she was great. Right. She was fantastic. Now, one thing I will say is, you know, I haven't heard from her since. Right. And I would say, you know, and I'm kind of like, well, I still buy another van from them again. You know, probably. Right. They're good to do business with. Would I refer somebody to her? Yeah, I probably would. But, you know, you got to keep in touch with people. It's just, I'll give you an example. Like, we talked about my dad at the beginning of this when we started this. Right.
Right.
My father is 83 years old. He still works 6 days a week at the Chevy store that I sold to Sonic. He writes postcards and sends them out to all his customers that he sells cars to. Handwrites them. AI is not doing it. Computer's not doing it. He has calendars, these old school calendars made up at the end of every year that people stick up on the refrigerators or stick up in their car or in their offices. He goes, he passes them out to people. He's still good for 10 to 12 deals a month to this day at the age of 83. He goes and picks up his customers' cars at their homes, gives them a loaner car to use, and brings them in for warranty work, customer pay, maintenance, whatever. And to this day, people still call him for cars. And even though, like, I sold the dealership, like, I bought my father out a long time ago, and he still worked, him and I still worked together, and he taught me all the stuff I'm talking about. I really learned from him.
Yeah.
The technology part, but everything else that goes along with it. He still does that to this day. And I think in order for people to be really successful in this industry long-term, you still have to do things like that. It's really, really, really important.
Yeah, that's,
that makes sense.
Totally makes sense. Of course, yeah, it makes sense. And of course, and I don't want to sound corporate because that's not my thing, Todd. But like by doing that, by just being a nice human being and doing the little things that you should do, he's getting more of a pipeline because everyone's saying, oh, you got to talk to this guy. Forget the other people. This is the one you want to talk to.
Now, if my father was really good with social media and technology, which, you know, he's 83 years old, right? He can get around on his iPhone. He's pretty good. He goes on YouTube. He goes on Facebook. But if he could if he could Benjamin Button himself, right?
And
be, you know, 30 or 40 years old and understand technology, he would probably sell 4 or 5 times in the cars he sells now. And that's where I would tell you that, you know, there's a lot of things that people can learn. If they understand the basics of communication and, you know, just understand that it's not transactional and that it's relationship. And if they want to have a long-term success in the car business, they can do it and leverage the technology that's in place now. The sky's the limit as far as I'm concerned.
Man, you hit on a topic. Well, fortunately, we're just about out of time. But man, social media and how we can use that to our advantage and help the relationship, even though it's not in front of each other, is something that's I'm very passionate about. You got to get on camera. You got to get on your video. It's just the way it's got to be. Before we go, I just want to check with our producer, Eric Glass. Eric, are there any questions from the chat before we close out here today with Mr. Todd Caputo? And if not, we will close this out. Eric? Oh, no. By the way, anytime anyone ever asks that question, there's always a deep sigh. You put so much pressure on.
I would tell you to remember this, that buying a car is a very emotional thing for people the majority of the time. And you have to have empathy for people when they're doing it. And don't ever, ever forget that. Don't ever get in a transactional mindset, no matter how many cars a month that you sell. Because if you do, I don't believe you're going to be successful long term.
Awesome advice. That's going to close it out for this week's edition of the Inside Track. Thank you for joining us. Of course, you can find us out there on all of your podcast providers. As we will continue the conversation, sometimes automotive, sometimes not. Hope you will like, subscribe, and join all of our socials, all that good stuff. Todd, it was a pleasure. I really appreciate all your kind words.
Absolutely.
Again, ToddCaputoConsulting.com. Please at least watch the video. It's a great storytelling piece of work. So thank you, everyone. Until next time, we will see you on up the road.